Today on Seculo, the Department of Homeland Security responds to the ACLJ saying, we're just following Biden's orders. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We take your calls too, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll, of course, get to politics today, and everything kind of has an influence in politics when you're this close to the election. So many people that are early voting, and then, of course, some of that comes to a close depending on where you are at various days, or it starts where you are. So in every state, it's different. Know the rules. Make sure you make a plan if you haven't voted already. Because what we're hearing is, you know, even early voting is the lines are getting long, and you just want to make sure you're prepared to, even if you think, oh, it'll take me 15 minutes like last time, if it's going to take a couple hours, make sure you just have your plan in place so that you get your vote cast. A lot to talk about today. We mentioned a little bit yesterday in the broadcast. We didn't really get into the details for everybody because we just had received a letter from the Department of Homeland Security, but we wrote back in September. To the Secretary Mayorkas. And it was following up on the executive order that President Biden announced on the access to reproductive health care services. And broadly, there were a couple of issues we had with questions for DHS. And specifically, it was the language used about, quote, deceptive or fraudulent practices related to reproductive health care. Now, you might read that and say, okay. But we know that's language used by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry to describe pro-life pregnancy centers. That is the exact wording they use. So we highlight that. We said, you know, this language is frequently used in direct reference to pregnancy resource centers. It's a concern of the ACLJ that the administration officials use that language in the executive order as a basis to justify even unconsciously targeting these resource centers for censorship and even elimination, which is their ultimate goal, is to close them down. And we've had to fight these individuals.
All the way to the Supreme Court of the United States.
But people like Mayorkas, people like the Vice President Harris, when they were in California, we were fighting their actions here. And the second part was that, you know, they're applying this rule, the FACE Act, the Free Access to Clinics Act. And we said, okay, if you're going to do that for the abortion clinics, you're going to task the FBI with this. And we talk about that in the letter. Then what about the pro-life pregnancy centers? They do reproductive health.
And
so if they get targeted, then are you going to go after those people who firebomb them with RICO statutes and with the FACE Act statutes and put them in, you know, send them to jail?
Well, they answered us.
And they answered.
And their answer was basically this. Dear Mr. Seculo, this was addressed to Jordan as the executive director of the ACLJ. Thank you for your September 8th, 2022 letter regarding Executive Order 14076, Protecting Access to Reproductive Healthcare Services, and your concerns regarding potential impact to, and then says, from the order on pregnancy resource centers. Secretary Mayorkas has asked that I respond. We appreciate your detailed expression of concern regarding how the executive order may be implemented. The department is committed to carrying out the direction of the president, including assignments made to it in the executive order in a manner consistent with the Constitution and all applicable laws. Thank you for your interest and the importance of this issue. Signed by the Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security. What's so interesting about this, though, is not only do they basically say we're not going to do anything other than what the president says, even though we would be covered by the FACE Act, they're not, our pro-life pregnancy centers, resource centers would be, they're not going to do it. And they responded in such a way that tells you they're not going to do it, which is more of what these issues are really all about.
Exactly. And so to me, again, we're going to get into the Biden speech. We're going to get into the politics. We're going to be joined by Abe Hamadeh, who's an attorney general candidate in Nevada. So we've got a lot to talk about today. We're getting to the polls. We're getting to inflation. Again, what President Biden was saying last night about Republicans, we want to hear from you as well. 1-800-684-3110. To join us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And of course, we encourage you, we've got a matching challenge going right now to support the work of the ACLJ if you can financially at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And our matching challenge is very clear. You double the impact of your donation. So if you donated $20 to the ACLJ today, we have a donor who will match that $20. So it's like $40 for the ACLJ. You take the initial action. And again, trigger that matching donation. That's at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110. We're going to get into politics. We have a candidate for office in one of the states everybody's watching very closely, Abe Hamadeh from Nevada. He's running for attorney general there. He's going to join us live in the next segment of the broadcast. And that's one of those states, of course, people watch very, very closely.
It's also one of the most – these attorney general races are some of the most important in your state as far as priorities of enforcement, Supreme Court litigation. I mean, it can go on and on. Criminal enforcement, depending on the state, how it's set up. I mean, the impact is very significant. These are the – look, the left has been spending a fortune on these races for decades. For decades. They'll go right down to the local district attorney, so we know that. But let's talk about what we did here in response to and the responses we've gotten. And first, Jordan, I just asked, looks like there's about six of these amendments or ballot initiatives on the life issue across the country.
Yeah, I mean, some of these got ahead of, they were preparing for if, you know, Roe is overturned and already had the measures ready to vote on. Some are preview measures that you will see in this ballot and you'll actually vote in a couple more years. But we saw a preview was what we saw in Kansas. And that vote did not go well. We have one in Kentucky. It's uphill. Now, this is interesting because the Republican turnout there is looking very high. Like, the Rand Paul's race is not even being discussed. So you got top of the ticket races like a U.S. Senate race. And yet it's a little lopsided when it comes to that ballot issue. Yeah. And some of that is, again, voter education.
Yep.
Even like between the official overturning of Roe v. Wade, the actual, not the leaked opinion, but the actual opinion coming out, it's really not enough education time on a constitutional change at the state level. Usually they fail. I mean, most of the
constitutional amendments, your initial reaction going into the booth is vote no.
Yeah, because if you haven't educated yourself about it, that's a safer option.
Yeah, I mean,
like than messing with your constitution. Here in Tennessee, we have a couple like unique ones about like if the governor is something, you know, where they are impaired, who should take over? Because we have an unelected lieutenant governor or the elected speaker of the House. You know, that would be a constitutional change. How people vote on that? I mean, that's
no idea.
There's one about clearing out the word slavery from the Constitution, but you have to be careful with that because we do use prisoners for work. And so how you define that is important. So you still have, you don't have indentured servitude, but you do have a form of it.
Right.
And there's, you have to carefully word it or else you make a change to your Constitution. Guess who's going to be knocking on the door? Criminal defense attorney saying, you just got rid of that, so you can't have these workforces anymore. And so it's, again, the constitutional amendment game can be very clear-cut if you do the education right. If you don't, it's not like predicting a race.
The state fight on abortion is huge, but there's also a federal component to it, and that is, we've said this, there are states like California and New York where the first line of defense is going to be the pregnancy resource center.
Yep.
I mean, that's where the first line of defense is.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get legislation through to defend life, but you're going to be able to keep these pregnancy resource centers. We've gone all the way to the Supreme Court multiple times defending them. Yet the Biden administration is unrelentingly enforcing the Free Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and they issued a directive, an executive order. And Cece, that executive order, let's talk about what that kind of the executive order laid out.
Sure. So Biden issued an executive order, which was basically protecting abortion clinics. But it contained language in there that said that the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Attorney General, and the Chair of the FTC could address deceptive or fraudulent practices related to reproductive health care services, including online, and to protect access to accurate information. And we know that specific language is always used to target pregnancy resource centers.
You know how anti-speech they are, anti-free speech they are? They want the crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers, to advertise for abortions. I mean, this is what as compelled speech. Which nobody on the Supreme Court supports, by the way, compelled speech. Although when they put it in the context of abortion, amazingly, they get the liberal members of the court because of the, as Justice Alito said, the jurisprudence has been distorted because anytime it's related to abortion, it even impacts the First Amendment. But they issued an executive order. We did not take that lying down. I'm holding in my hand our letter to Secretary Mayorkas because we were concerned about it. Cece, lay out what's in what we laid out in this letter, and then Jordan, I want to talk about the kind of what we got as a response and what that really means.
Sure. So we specifically highlighted the language, the problematic language that I just highlighted about attacking the pregnancy resource centers. Then we highlighted the benefits of pregnancy resource centers, that they provide essential and professional services, hundreds of thousands of free ultrasounds, just invaluable resources and services, And we point out that they have been the targets of terrible attacks, firebombing, and vandalism. And we pointed out and highlighted our cases where we have protected in the past these pregnancy resource centers from the government targeting them. And we've won those cases. And then we just put out our concern again for this language. And then we put them on notice that we would be absolutely filing and closely monitoring everything that comes out of these reports, and that we will take a legal action if we need to protect these PRCs.
And we are. So we are already in a defensive mode for the pregnancy resource centers. But let me be clear here, and Jordan, I think, wants to reiterate this. They've tried to make abortion an election issue of paramount. But every time they score it, I notice it's only 15%. It's like 15, you know, it's like the second or third important issue, even to the Democratic voters. So while they're trying to do all this, making this the most important issue that there is, the fact of the matter is you got to fight them where it counts. And where it counts right now is either in court or through the legislative process, or this is really the regulatory process with this executive order.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, again, you're getting a clear-cut view of where the Biden administration is. And, again, whether or not you think who's in control, it's the radical left inside.
No question. That
administration, and it's very radical. Yeah, I was talking about Abe. That's Arizona. We had the Nevada candidate on yesterday. Been flipping those in my head. It's a lot of, you know, places, because we're going down ballot for you, and it's trying to explain why those races are. Why is George Soros spending hundreds of millions of dollars on AG races and DA races? There's a reason, and why
he's been doing that for a decade,
and Republicans had not yet really made that switch. We're starting to now. We're starting to say, let's go to the folks with that kind of money and say, we need to make a case why these races can be just as important, sometimes more important, than who you're necessarily, you know, fighting us into Washington, D.C. or control of the governor's mansion. Because certainly on the other side of politics, they don't let these go. And sometimes we take them for granted, and then you realize the political power, unfortunately, the way law enforcement's being used in politics now, you can put a stop to a lot of that by just putting someone in who knows their role, knows their place as the attorney general or as a DA, and doesn't overstep it or make it so. I mean, it's so obvious now how politically motivated the prosecutions are, and the indictments and the investigations.
Or lack of.
They're not even about issues. They're just about the people.
Look, they brought all these free access to clinic entrances indictments against two groups, one in Tennessee. The other one, I think, was Pennsylvania. And they made these big announcements. They did these, you know, the raids with the FBI. Just meanwhile, you've had crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy was bombed, firebombed, destroyed. And I don't know of an investigation that's going on by the FBI at this point.
Right. So the FACE investigations, I think it's up to 22, where they've gone after pro-life protesters. And we do not know of one where they have gone after anybody who is firebombed, targeted, vandalized.
And James Revenge acknowledged that they did it. I mean, that group, James Revenge, said, we did this.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, they know that they've done it.
With trying to find who's the organizer, who's the money behind this, and go after them with RICO and organize, you know, treat them like organized crime, which they admitted they are.
Yeah. But no one's taken action on them.
No one's taken action. And the ones that they've taken action against, the pro-life protesters, these are year and a half, 2-3 years old.
There's a big difference between putting your body on the line to protest and firebombing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one is civil disobedience, and one is arson.
Now, they're both crimes, because one would be normally a trespass.
But different kinds of crimes.
Well, one's very different. One would be a state trespass action. The other would be an arson, which is a felony of a big magnitude.
Yeah.
But to say there's a double standard is unreal. But I want to say this to our ACLJ members. We got a response from DHS. Trust me. They know we're looking and we're monitoring and we'll take legal action as necessary. This was a letter directed by Mayorkas's office to the assistant secretary to respond to us. And while the response was, we're following orders, basically, which we expected it would be, they're fully aware of the scope and nature of how in-depth our analysis was of this problem. And that means, because of your support of the ACLJ, we're able to do it. Now, we're in a matching challenge campaign, folks, and this fight for life is now state by state. It's ballot initiatives. We've worked on those already. We just finished up a case at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit for the governor of South Dakota, where we were successful. I mean, there's a series of these cases. Got a rehearing on Bonk, which is at request for the whole Ninth Circuit. to hear a case involving Planned Parenthood in California that we're involved in. Your support allows us to do that. So November and December are the two most important matching challenge months of our year. And folks, this is where you come in. Jordan's letting you know what to do, folks, but you go to aclj.org if you're able, and your gift is matched by another group of donors. And that makes a huge difference. Doubles your impact. It doesn't quadruple the impact. Some of these political ones I see, Jordan, 50 times. This is doubles. It doubles your impact.
Yeah, it's clear. It's no games. I mean, so if you donate $25 to ACLJ right now online at aclj.org, you will see the matching challenge language on there. That triggers a matching gift of $25. So you, because of your $25 donation, we've actually received $50. So it's the best way to think about it. ACLJ.org. Be part of it if you can. We'll be right back with Abe Habanet. Hey, welcome back to Seculo. Folks, we are joined by Abe Habanet. He is running for Attorney General in the state of Arizona. We have talked about the importance of the Attorney General races and been trying to highlight these races across the country. We know the left has realized and has been engaged long before now. That it's great that the conservatives are starting to wake up to this. Abe is an intel officer in the U.S. Army Reserves, just returned from a 14-month-long deployment to Saudi Arabia and was there negotiating military sales, managing training of the Saudi domestic security forces. This also is directly in response to the terrorist attack that we saw in Pensacola. So active there. A former prosecutor in Maricopa County. So the issues of crime that we know are very important to folks. So it's great to be joined by Abe today on the broadcast.
It sure is. And Abe, you know, we've been discussing the importance of the state attorney general's race and the fact that the left organizations have been pouring money into these attorney general races for about a decade now. They realize the importance of it. First, as you look at it for your state, what do you see as priority one for the attorney general to be engaged in? Because you're down to 5 days here, and we'll talk about the campaign in a moment, but I think it's important to understand, for people to understand, what you view as issue one.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because the fight that we're in is so different than, say, 10 years ago, where we were just fighting the federal government. Right now, we're fighting big tech and big business as well. But here in Arizona, the border is obviously the number one issue because the Biden administration has advertised to the world that he's going to open it up. And 250,000 people flocking in across the border every single month is unsustainable. So that's why I've said on day one, I'm going to work with the legislature to declare the cartels as terrorist organizations, have enhanced sentencing on them, and go after any financial institution doing business with them. But this is where, you know, Governor Greg Abbott just in Texas did this the other week as well. So this is where we're going to get a lot tougher on securing our southern border. But, you know, Jay, you're right. It's every single, you know, avenue is being attacked by the left right now. They've infiltrated every aspect of our lives, and state AGs are standing up to the Biden administration right now.
You know, one of the questions we asked everybody who's campaigning across states and spent a lot of time with voters, as you have, Abe, in Arizona, you were a former prosecutor in Maricopa County. Crime is on the top of mind. It does not matter where you live right now. If you live in the city, if you live in urban area, rural areas, people are concerned about crime and the selective enforcement of crime. As Attorney General, I would imagine, as a candidate for Attorney General, how much are you hearing that as you travel the state? And are you hearing it like we're hearing it across the country, not just from, you know, the big urban areas, but from rural areas as well, because of the drug crisis they're dealing with?
Absolutely, you're right. The Democrats have unleashed criminals on our streets when they should belong back in jail. So you're right that it's affecting our suburban areas and rural areas with the fentanyl, but a lot of that goes back to the border being wide open right now. But here in Arizona, you know, as Attorney General, the legislature just last year allowed us to now go after those smash and grabs that we've been witnessing all across the country, where they rush into a store and leave. You know, this organized retail theft unit has been established here in Arizona. And it's because too often these county attorneys are either overburdened or they lack the resources, or that they're just George Soros prosecutors who don't want to prosecute low-level crime. But you're right, every single city that's implemented Democratic policies has led to chaos and misery so quickly. San Francisco, Chicago, New York, ending cash bail does not work. We can already witness that across the country. But these are the policies that Democrats are literally espousing right now. Never forget, they're the ones who said that we need to defund the police and abolish ICE. This is unacceptable.
It's important for people to understand what's at stake here. And that is with what an attorney general does. And I have been, and Jordan have been, appointed by attorney generals, as special attorney generals, deputy attorney generals for various cases. Andy, you served in the Georgia State Attorney General's office for a long time as a deputy. What? Let everybody know, and then I've got a specific question for Abe, the importance of this role.
It is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. I was an assistant attorney general in Georgia, and the law department represented all the state agencies in the state of Georgia, in Georgia anyway, and in many jurisdictions. Why it's important is because the attorney general can, his opinion, for example, asked for by a state agency is binding on that agency. The attorney general goes to court representing the state. He speaks for the state. He is the chief law enforcement officer for the state. He can prosecute cases in any one in Georgia, the 159 counties of the state, along with the district attorneys. He can be either a strong law enforcement, pro-sheriff, pro-police officer, or he can be very weak and inefficient. So it's a very important office. I would say next to the governorship, yeah, the attorney general is a very important and significant position.
And Abe, the attorney generals of the various states have also taken direct action against the Biden administration because of some of the policies there. And that's another big role, which was not so prominent, you know, 10 years ago, but it's become much more prominent in the last 18, 19 months.
You're exactly right. And you're hearing, you know, just the other week, you saw the Biden administration have to roll back some of their debt repayment that they wanted to do on the private lending. So, and who fought that? It was the state AGs with that threat of the lawsuit actually made them change course. And that's what's going on right now. Republican AGs have a backbone, right? I mean, the Democrats, you know, they were wise to do this for such a long time. And I think from 2009 to 2017, Republican AGs brought lawsuits against Obama only about 80 times. When President Trump took office in 2017, in his first year alone, Democratic AGs sued him over 90 times in his first year alone. So that's where Republicans finally are recognizing that this is a powerful, important role. And, you know, here in Arizona, I'll have 450 attorneys, you know, working to fight back the Biden administration.
That's a good point right there. Is
450 lawyers.
The office, you know, to
one of the biggest law firms
attention
in the state.
That's right. And the ability to fight back, as Abe said. Now, Abe, if people want to learn about the campaign, and we're encouraging people to support the candidates like you, the AG races, where can they go online?
Thank you, Jordan. They can go to abe4ag.com, abe4ag.com. We only got a few days left, but right now, you know, running through the tape. And, you know, my opponent, her top priorities are fighting climate change, abortion, and saving democracy. You know, it's offensive. She's a professor of environmentalism, never has practiced law. She's an activist. She wants to fight the weather. I want to fight the criminals. And that's the biggest difference.
There you go. Thank you, Abe. We appreciate it. Encourage people. Again, big office with big responsibilities. I don't think we could. They're also the representatives that go to the Supreme Court on behalf of the state.
That's right.
Through the Solicitor
General's
office.
Only the Attorney General can represent a state before the United States Supreme Court or the designee, his Solicitor General in states that have them. So he speaks for the state and he speaks for all the law enforcement officers of the state. That's why the AG position is so critical and so vital.
Like we always say, too, his opponent's been reached out to.
Yep.
Chris Mayer's eyes and had the opportunity to be on.
Now, and we'll keep that opportunity open until the day of the election.
Yep.
How do you see we'll get into this in the next half hour, but how do you...
I just think the issue, everyone we're talking to, and it doesn't really matter, there's a border state, you know, where obviously the illegal immigration is part of it, the crime that comes with it, but number one is the fentanyl. And then you move to places that are much further from the border, number one, fentanyl. So what the people who are looking at real law enforcement are looking at is, I think there was an example, I don't know what state it was in, but a police officer recently, they arrested a drug dealer who had fentanyl on them. The police officer, just by touching that person, had to use 3 narc pins to come back from the dead, basically. If he wasn't at a prison facility where they had 3, if he had just had 1, dead. So it needed 3.
Narcon is the antiviral,
just
basically.
From touching, you know, the pins that they put in people's legs.
Yeah.
And that just shows you, again, the deadliness, but this is the front line of it, places like Arizona.
We're able to bring you this information each and every day because in addition to our litigation work and government affairs, we produce an hour-long, 5 days a week, full broadcast for you. ACLJ.org for that matching challenge. We encourage you to do it today. ACLJ.org. Stay tuned for the next half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls, too. I want you to join in on the broadcast at 1-800-684-31 to get more into politics directly in the second half hour. We were just talking to a candidate for attorney general in Arizona.
That transcended politics. Yeah, because we've got to explain to people how important these attorney general roles are.
I think
he
said it very quickly. Just the office there of attorney, 450. So you go from being the candidate to, like you said, having the probably largest law firm in the state of Arizona or close to it. That's not including all the other staff. That's just the actual attorneys in that office. And I think that's just a wake-up call. So if you get involved in those races, think about how many people they're setting the tone for.
And what do they do when they have a special constitutional case, when they appoint special counsels? Okay, instead of appointing the Democratic lawyers, guess who they appoint? We represented Senator – no, we just finished up – well, I represented out the state of Alabama years ago. I represented the state of Georgia just a couple of years ago. So all of those are for real. And it makes a huge difference. So when these get appointed, it helps bring the right expertise to these issues. You were talking about politics. Jordan, you want to explain this one to me? This was a Joe Biden tweet.
Yeah.
Can we put it up on the screen, please? I'm going to explain it to everybody. It's a, looks like a ballot, old-fashioned one, where you would put your candidate. And
they didn't color the lines, by the way.
They did not
so
color
it looked like
the
Joe
lines.
Joe Biden himself might have been shakily...
Yeah, I guess. And it's make a plan to cast your vote, iwillvote.com. It came out from Joe Biden from his official United States government account. Cost, lower Democrats. Abortion, protect Democrat. Social Security, protect
always a
Democrat.
Lie. They love that lie.
Yeah. Birth control access, Democrats protect. I'm not going to go through what they said. We'll say, are we going to save this one?
No, I think it's good to point out. The White House... Because they're being run. I mean, that communications team. Listen, I would be a better communications director for Joe Biden if I could. I could be a fake Democrat and put out better talking points. So they tweet out that guess what? Seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership. Social Security increases go up with inflation. Automatically with an algorithm.
Yeah, it was passed
the only
in 19.
President
Nixon signed that law in 1972.
In their checks is because the inflation has blown up under President Biden. So it gets fact checked. Now, when we get these problems, we fight back because we're like, you know what? You fact checkers are wrong. We're the lawyers here. You know what the White House did? Deleted the tweet. So thank you, Elon Musk. Starting to level the playing field on Twitter, because that is not just embarrassing to like whatever kid, obviously there. That means that Karine Jean-Pierre and those people, they don't know that. So when they say they're out to protect your Social Security, the Democrats, remember the liberal nutty kids running the White House and running the policy don't even know why Social Security checks increased. And it only increased so you can afford to maybe buy your food. So if you're on that fixed income, maybe you can stay on track.
And by the way, and that's if inflation doesn't go up, because it'll take another year for it to reactivate. But here's what it says. This is a tweet from the White House. Jordan said, seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership. I want to add to it, his leadership in seeing inflation go to record numbers.
It's literally a failure if this number goes up.
But he actually, somebody in the White House, like you said, good idea. Let's put this out.
Yeah, the number went up. The checks are higher, so let's take credit for it. But they don't realize. They're kids, right? These are kids. They have no idea what they're talking about with Social Security.
So this was a law passed in 1972 by Richard Nixon.
Yeah, yeah. Which automatically
increases Social Security adjusted to the cost of living, basically. Right. This inflation adjustment.
All the time it can be.
So if it went up 12% next year, they're going to say, oh, good news, under President Biden, you got a 12% increase in Social Security.
It never really is matching reality, like you said.
No, it's
like,
always
it's
in
not
your
like
mind.
Because you got this increase now, suddenly you can pay all your bills and you're living the same lifestyle you lived on these fixed incomes. You're not. But they had to delete it. They didn't try to defend it. They didn't try to come back.
No, they don't do what we do when we get hit
because
by Facebook and fight back.
This was totally inaccurate. This was a lie. And now we have a Twitter which will call out lies by anyone who makes these kind of statements. And that's how it should be. But under a Republican White House, I think that the policy team around this would never go out.
No.
Even if the inflation was up, which I probably wouldn't be under Republicans, because they wouldn't say, I want to kill fossil fuel industry. Which is why, a big reason why. It's not Putin's inflation, it's Biden's inflation. Remember that when you go vote.
I'm going to tell you this. Remember something else. Support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at ACLJ.org. Matching challenge, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
So try and respond. Now, they couldn't do it through tweet. They had to delete the tweet.
This is, again, reminder.
By the way, so they put out this tweet yesterday. Seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership.
Called inflation.
The only reason they're getting it has nothing to do with leadership. It actually might have to do with the lack of leadership or bad policies, because those checks go up. You get increase in Social Security check if inflation goes up. And so the only reason why the increase happened and it's so big is because inflation blew up so big. It wasn't transitory. It wasn't short term. And so now the tweet got it got the mark, the better watch out. And what did they do? Did they respond to the fact check? Nope. They deleted the tweet. And then in a very long, and again, it only takes you this long to explain away your bad, and again, this was a mistake, right? I mean, like, anybody who knows how Social Security works would know that's
a mistake, or did they think they wouldn't be caught?
There's probably a little bit of both. They never would have gotten caught in the past by Twitter.
Yes.
And flagged. But it got flagged. I mean, the official White House got flagged. And good for Twitter for doing so, because it is a lie and it's misleading. It's very misleading. It acts like President Biden got legislation passed to get more money to seniors. Right. That's not true. Because of his war on fossil fuel, they're getting an increase in Social Security because inflation is so high. Take a listen to how long it took Karine Jean-Pierre to try to explain what happened there by 43.
Thanks, Karine. The White House removed a tweet that talked about the increase in Social Security benefits in 2023 through President Biden's leadership. There was a contextual note. I'm not sure what the proper terminology is for the platform that was added to that. Was it removed because of the addition of the note, or was it removed because of the concern about the veracity of the message?
So it was, the tweet was not complete. Usually when we put out a tweet, we posted with context, and it did not have that context. So in the past, we've pointed out that for the first time in over a decade, seniors' Medicare premiums will decrease even as their Social Security checks increase. That's a little bit of context that was not included. This means that seniors will have a chance to get ahead of inflation due to the rare combination of rising benefits and falling premiums. And let's not forget, as you've been hearing me say for the past few minutes, about MAGA Republicans in Congress and their continued threat to threaten Social Security and Medicare, proposing to put them on the chopping blocks every 5 years, threatening benefits and to change eligibility.
This goes on for another minute.
Yeah.
We just chopped that off for a few.
Let's truth check what she said. Okay. She didn't respond to the fact that they put out a tweet that said that your Social Security check's going up because of President Biden's leadership.
They didn't try to respond with the Medicare thing with Twitter. They didn't say, like, and also, by the way, we're saying this because Medicaid, the premiums are going down for Medicare. They didn't try to even do that with fact checkers.
And then they turn it into the MAGA Republicans.
MAGA.
Our thing said MAGA, but MAGA. MAGA. MAGA Republicans. It was Ultra Republicans, Ultra MAGA. Now, is that just MAGA is just regular Republicans?
He didn't try to do that last night.
Do last night in your view? What was the point of that speech last night? Let's move to that.
It was very mischaracterized from the beginning. So they talked about a Capitol Hill address. And they meant the Capitol Hill neighborhood, because it was at Union Station, which is a hellhole right now. I mean, there's nothing open there. It is homeless people, drug addicts.
It's very dangerous.
We just got to, like, run through to get to the train. It used to be, beautiful and a nice experience, because it was kind of like the old school way of travel, where you didn't have to go through a ton of security. You didn't have a lot of – you could kind of show up 10 minutes before, get on the train, and you can still get on the train. The trains are still running, the Amtrak and the Excel and things like that. But even Starbucks closed. So people are, like, running out the door because there's so many people coming up to you, begging you. And then, of course, they get violent drug addicts, so they're getting violent too. So there's a huge homeless encampment in the middle in the circle
which
there.
Which the city has allowed.
Yeah, but they cleared it out a few hours before
the speech. Now, if President Trump did that, what would happen?
That would have been a whole thing. And this was not done for any – I mean, maybe for security purposes, though. He didn't need to walk through that to get into Union Station. It was done because if they visually showed he was speaking inside Union Station. So he's in the small room. It was not as dramatic, obviously, as that first speech in September. And then, similar lines. But let's talk about it. Let's go to the Capitol Hill. It's all about – it's basically them saying, you cannot vote Republican because of January 6th. So to save democracy, we must have a single-party state and a single-party country. Which is the most anti-democratic statement you ever heard, is that you as a voter only have one choice. That's what he's saying. And the one choice is, even if you don't like the Democrat, you better vote for the Democrat, because or else those crazy January 6th are coming. Take a listen. Here's Joe Biden yesterday. He was on Capitol Hill, near the U.S. Capitol, not at the U.S. Capitol, by 7.
I speak today near Capitol Hill, near the U.S. Capitol, the citadel of our democracy. I know there's a lot at stake in these midterm elections, from our economy to the safety of our streets to our personal freedoms, the future of health care, Social Security, Medicare. It's all important. But we'll have our differences. We'll have our difference of opinion. And that's what it's supposed to be. But there's something else at stake. Democracy itself.
Well, I mean, a lot of Republicans have been talking about that with election integrity. And they get
that they don't, they don't like the word election that. Integrity.
For
that means you're trying to get people
democracy.
Not to vote. Yeah.
But they, I mean, you know, the idea is that we want our system to work easily and clearly.
But you've done a lot of campaigns. You've worked on with the highest level presidential campaigns, multiple. You're in a midterm election.
Uh-huh.
We're 5 days away from the from the election, and the current president of the United States goes to Union Station and does a speech. They must feel very desperate.
It is desperate to use it to the final message. And you know, we talk about like the mom vote. We talk about the independent vote, the quiet kind of silent vote that is not hyper partisan. I don't know if they're even listening to Joe Biden. They did it at 7 o'clock at Eastern time. Okay, people with kids and stuff like that and can't even tune in. So I guess he can't stay up till 9 o'clock at night, or they don't want to do that, because that would have been where you get attention. But they don't want too much attention. I think they want sound bites. This idea that he's like, don't worry about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about fentanyl. That doesn't come up. You know, drugs,
right.
Border, Ukraine, Russia, China. List goes on. It's January. Vote. You must vote Democrat. There's only one choice, and you're doing that to save democracy. This is the thing. That message doesn't work, because you know what? Americans don't even understand what he's saying there. It doesn't make any sense.
We have a great call coming in from Patrick out of New York. We should take this. It's right on the point. Patrick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
And Jordan. Why has MAGA Republican become the rally cry of the Democrats?
They are trying to scare away the mob vote. They are trying to scare away the independent votes. I think they're also trying to scare away a lot of minority groups that have come to the Republican Party. Hispanics, black voters. We're seeing in record numbers Donald Trump, even when in the 2020 election, he got record numbers of support. This is why those four races in the Rio Grande Valley and then South Texas are competitive now, and some of those places Joe Biden won by 20 points. Joe Biden won by 20 points, and now they're competitive. There's been a shift. The shift has happened. I think that,
but you
Politico,
also are saying
I think
it's
called
be
it
very
perplexing
close.
Last night.
Like
what was, again, you take that time, you take that opportunity. I think Jake Tapper had that same kind of issue. Let's take a listen, Biden 47.
President Biden issuing this warning near the U.S. Capitol this evening. Biden hoping that voters will cast their ballots with defending democracy in mind. The reality is, with 6 days to go, that's not where voters' heads seem to be. The latest CNN polling showing that the economy and inflation far outrank any other issue in voters' minds. 51% say it's a top issue.
James Carville famously said during the Clinton race, it's the economy. It's the economy. And that's what it is. And they tried the abortion line. We're going to defend abortion. That's going to be
didn't score.
Didn't last. So then it's the MAGA Republicans, ultra
Republicans.
People realized
it was going to be up to their states, and most states were not going to totally outlaw abortion 100%, at least not right now. Like we've talked about, there's going to be education campaigns
heartbeat
and people
bills,
have to learn about
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that didn't work. So we know how these can't. So that issue's, forget that one. We'll put it on the list, but it's not
on
happen.
The list, but only
but
because
ignore
of the court
case. The economy, because even though Joe Biden is saying that your Social Security check went up because of inflation, I mean, this is what they're thinking. Somebody in the White House actually thought putting that tweet out was a good idea, that your Social Security check's gone on under the leadership of Joe Biden because now inflation's the highest it's been in 40 years. I mean, think about what they're saying.
I would say this, too. The fact that Joe Biden has to get up by himself in Washington, D.C. He's not surrounded by any candidates for office. I mean, he's been campaigning in the North-Northeast.
Did they get primetime coverage on the main networks?
It's not really primetime.
Yeah, it wasn't really primetime.
My brother Logan called it the early bird special. It's the new primetime for having this kind of president is now national addresses at 7 Eastern time, 4 on the West Coast. I mean, they're hiding him. It's like they're putting him out there because he's got to do something.
And the candidates don't want him out there.
No, listen, you are not If you are stuck in Washington, D.C. during the midterms as the sitting president because they don't like the New Hampshire senator, Maggie Hassan does not want you, or, you know, you could go out west to Washington State or some races in California to run, but like he ain't going to Georgia.
Yep.
You know, you're not seeing him. He did go down to Florida, but that's a joke, too, because it's not really a race.
Are we going to do some polling when we get back?
Yeah, we'll go through the polling. Again, it's not a huge changes right now. We're just seeing it's all turnout based.
Boy, Pennsylvania's close.
They're all close.
You said they put a lot of money. Veterans people put a lot of
veterans
money.
Veterans putting a lot of money there. They know that that could be the one that determines the balance of power in the Senate. Because out west, as we had Abon and those races, are starting to get away a little bit from the Democrats.
Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Supports work around the globe, including this broadcast. ACLJ.org matching challenge.
We're talking about it's the economy, stupid. I want to play a little bit more from Joe Biden, and then we get into inflation because, you know, with the inflation comes rate hikes, and we got another rate hike. And it was interesting because when it was being announced by Powell, it was, first sounded like maybe they weren't going to do as high of a hike, and
then
it was a three-quarters of a point. And so we'll talk about that in a second. Let me play Joe Biden because this, again, because he didn't want to go like with the Ultra MAGA, the Mega MAGA, because those become T-shirts for Republicans. It's dark forces now. I mean, which is also, again, they tried to tie the Paul. He tried to tie the Paul Pelosi thing. The fact is, that guy just doesn't add up to even like a January 6th insurrectionist type person. This guy believes in the liberal conspiracy theories. They were conservative. He's not even. He's an illegal immigrant. I mean, there's all these things about him that just, and a nudist on top of that.
Yep.
Okay, so is that the normal Republican voter or conservative voter? So I don't know why that's working, but take a listen to this one, by 12.
We the people must decide whether the rule of law will prevail, whether we'll allow the dark forces to thirst for power, put ahead of the principles that we've long guided us.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, what is that even enforcing? These are the ones not protecting us
Star
at the border.
Wars? I mean,
isn't he the one that the reason why that we need the rule of law at the border? We need the rule of law in our communities.
No, they
so
mean the
they
rule of law by, here's what they're talking about. Civil disobedience violates the law. We all know that. So civil disobedience because it violates laws. Okay. We must decide whether the rule of law will prevail, and these are the people that have, like you said, at the border, and now it's affecting every state. But it's not just affecting every state.
Cashless bail, all those kind of things.
Yeah, Kat, but it's not just affecting every state as far as crime goes. It directly affects, Professor Hutchinson, the cost of living.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about the fact that, you know, Biden's bragging that, you know, we're increasing Social Security the highest rate it's been in decades. That's because it is an automatic inflation adjuster signed into law in 1972 by Richard Nixon. I mean, so this tells you what's going on here. But this, the number one issue on everybody's mind is the economy. Now, the Fed just increased the rate 0.75 point, trying to cool down the markets. What do you sense?
Well, number one, and I've said this before, the Fed has been late to the party. The party is called inflation. So, Jay, in September, 6 weeks ago, the Fed chairman Powell declared a war on inflation. But Politico correctly stated this move could lead straight to a recession. And so if you look at forward indicators out there, particularly within the tech industry, you are seeing layoffs of 18%, 13% at Lyft, and a number of other firms. And with interest rates rising, we should begin to experience layoffs within the construction industry. So President Biden has essentially helped to crater the economy because Fed Chairman Powell doesn't have sufficient resources to deal with rising inflation. Keep in mind, President Biden has given $400 billion to wealthy environmentalists and big corporations, $500 billion in a slush fund to states and localities packed with waste, $300 to $400 billion in student loan debt forgiveness. That's an inflationary move. President Biden doesn't seem to understand his contribution. Indeed, I would argue that President Biden, who basically talks endlessly about the dark forces in the United States, he is the leader of the dark forces in the United States.
So one of the biggest law firms in the country, Kirkland & Ellis, announced yesterday that they are, quote, overcommitted staff-wise. They have too much staff for transactional work. Now, I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but let me tell you what transactional work is. That's different from litigation. So they're laying off associates. It started in their office in Texas, which is one of the highest growth states in the country. But they've laid off associates in Texas, and they're saying because they are overcommitted with staff, undercommitted with acquisition work, transactional work. Transactional work is a direct reflection of what's happening within a robust economy.
Absolutely. And so we're seeing a dampening down of transactions, and in part, this is caused by a $10 billion trillion dollar increase in the federal deficit under the Biden administration. So the problem, Jay, is that Fed Chairman Powell is trying to fight inflation, but he lacks the tools unless we have fiscal restraint, which is what we don't have.
But the plan was, if you increase the interest rates, that's going to slow things down. So if you, what would your advice to Chairman Powell be as far as to get this prices under control, including interest rates? What would you do there?
Well, right now, I would probably think about raising interest rates a little bit more gradually, because it's going to take take time for these interest rates to work themselves throughout the economy. But my forecast is that mortgage rates will at least top 9% sometime next year. Keep in mind that even with
that'll slow the housing market down.
Absolutely. So if you look at the current Fed funds rate, it's only around 4%. The inflation rate for personal consumables is around 6.2%. The overall inflation rate is around 8 to 9%. So the Fed has a long way to go. So I foresee at least two or three more 75 basis point hikes within the next 9 months.
Shouldn't that Jordan issue of the economy with this? I mean, Harry really laid it out well. Be what the Republicans are running, which they are.
That is what they're running.
That long crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's the economy, inflation, crime, and border security. But number one is the economy by far. And then you put inflation with that, or sometimes they separate it out. If you combine it, it's
like 65%.
Yeah. I mean, this is the issue. Because it affects everybody. It affects people at the highest income levels, the lowest income levels, and especially the middle class.
And it impacts business. Listen, the Kirkland & Ellis situation with letting go of associates is telling. And it's transactional work, which is, like I said, that's business. It's mergers and acquisitions, an area you used to be involved in, Harry. Business acquisitions, business transactions. If that is slowing down now to the point where you're letting associates go and you're one of the largest law firms in the world, it's starting to feel an awful lot like, and most people don't remember this, Jimmy Carter, 1970.
Joe Biden is so reminiscent of that. That speech last night was kind of like Jimmy Carter's, too. Like, he can't even get any candidates around him because he's so toxic to Democrats in the election. So he has to go stand by himself in Washington, D.C., near Capitol Hill. In the Capitol Hill neighborhood, at Union Station, a room where people have to run away from homeless drug addicts to get to their trains, and like our director, Governor Fitch, said, the Starbucks is closed.
Yep.
When Starbucks closes, you know the area's gone real bad.
Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means the American people need to be aware that it is the economy. Now, you've got an election in, 5 days? And they're going to try to run on, they're doing the law and order thing down there, like the least law and order. I mean, so this is, they've turned up everything upside down. The question is going to be, the election, at the end of the day, let me tell you the difference in these races, 1 or 2% for most of them. So turning out the vote's going to matter. Let me also encourage you to do this. We're in the beginning of our matching challenge for November. November and December, two biggest months for the ACLJ. If you're able to support the work of the ACLJ, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. $25 is $50. $10 is $20, whatever it is. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go over to aclj.org. Sign up also for all of our social media. You can do that at the website at aclj.org as well. Talk to you tomorrow.